Welcome to the Speaking of Women's Health podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Holly Packer, and I'm glad to be back in the Sunflower House for a brand new episode of our Speaking of Women's Health podcast. And on today's special show, we're bringing back a special guest who you met in the first season. And I'm going to be talking with many patients' favorite beloved retired nurse, Lily McKinney. And Lily McKinney retired from our Cleveland Clinic Center for Specialized Women's Health over a year ago. Boy, time flies. And she was a nurse at our center for several years and practiced as a nurse in several other Northeast Ohio hospitals. And she's the mom of a son and a daughter. Her son has the same birthday as hers, which is so cute. And she said that was the best birthday gift. And she is a grandmother. And she's like an extended mother to a lot of our graduates in the Specialized Women's Health Fellowship. So she joined us early on in season one. And if you didn't hear that podcast, you should go back and listen to that podcast. And I like to let people know who have listened to this podcast from our free e-newsletter, and they click on it and they listen, that you can subscribe or follow the podcast for free, actually, on any place that you listen to a podcast. Like I have Apple iTunes or Spotify, anywhere that you would listen to podcasts. And that way you can get notices of new ones coming in, because we don't always email them out. And if you like to see the people that we're interviewing or see the Sunflower House here, you can follow us on Speaking of Women's Health on the Rumble app or Speaking of Women's Health YouTube. Although I think some of the YouTubes are just like audiovisual podcast. I mean, they're not audiovisual, but maybe we will be doing some of those. And we have other YouTube videos up. So anyway, I want to bring back to the podcast to hear all about her first year of retirement. And I had to do that drum roll. That's the first time I've ever done that drum roll. Welcome, Lily.
Thanks. It's nice to be here. It's nice to see your face. I miss you a lot.
Oh, we miss you. Patients still ask about
That's
you.
Sweet. Very sweet.
But so I guess the only solace that we have is that we know you're really enjoying yourself. It's fun to follow you on Instagram and see all of your travels and your enjoyment, because you certainly deserve it. So tell our listeners in the Sunflower House what you've been doing since we last talked to you last year.
So many things, because I am not a person to put my life on pause. I don't know if a lot of people know. I've told some people, but my mother passed away when she was 52, and so she never really got to enjoy retirement. So I said, that's not going to be me. I'm going to enjoy every moment that I have. And sometimes financially, maybe that doesn't work all the time. So you find a lot of things to do that are free, or just, you know, things that you wanted to do that aren't that expensive. You can figure it out. You can figure out how to do things. Because I know everybody looks at retirement as, you know, how are we going to manage our income and that kind of thing. So there are ways to do that. I mean, there are financial planners. That's not the route I took. That is a better route, I'm sure, for some people. But you do figure out how to budget and do all that kind of stuff. Whenever I retired, I looked at the first 2 months as like a vacation. And then I said, okay, that's it. I'm done with my vacation. Now I'm going to figure out what I want to do. And I stopped sleeping until 8 o'clock, which is a big sleep in for me, because I'm used to getting up, you know, earlier than that. So now I think I sleep into 7 o'clock, maybe. but I started taking classes at Tri-C. So I do the spring and fall quarter at Tri-C. I really enjoy that. I started taking Turkish lessons via Zoom on Thursday afternoons. My professor's in England, and I've been taking Turkish lessons for, I don't know, 8 months now.
And so how did you find out about that, and what are the classes that you're also taking physically on campus?
So the physical classes I take, the initial ones I took, it was like a art history class, and I've taken a philosophy class. I'm starting up again in March. I like the philosophy teacher I have, and I'm going to be taking one about the history of dance, and there's one about American, early American war, I guess the Revolutionary War. I know it's just a variety of things. It's just because
that's great. It keeps your brain going, because that's so important in the second half of life, to be learning new things and using your brain, even if it's not for paid work.
Right. And in journaling and writing and that kind of thing. And my Turkish class, I know people think that's the strangest thing, why you'd pick that. But I found out that the Turkish language is actually a younger language. It's only maybe 100 years old. And I just became interested in that culture a couple of years ago. And I just started finding this instructor on Instagram. Actually, I was following her. And as I talked to her, she's very sweet. I like her very much. And we set up a payment method online. And like I said, we Zoom every Thursday, and she's very encouraging, and it's just fun. It's just something different to do. And then my best friend, who's going to retire next year, she's decided now that she wants to play trivia. So last night we went and did trivia at a sports bar, and we're going to try different places, but she's trying to phase herself into using her brain as much as possible. She's a physician's assistant for Metro, and so she doesn't want to burn her brain out. I shouldn't say burn her brain out, but she doesn't want to lose her mental capacities either. And then I try to be physical with, walking whenever the weather's nice, and going to, I sign up for Silver Sneakers and going to like the gym, to the pool sometimes, and that kind of thing. But the grandchildren really keep you busy. My youngest granddaughter's in Girl Scouts now, and you wouldn't think that the Girl Scouts needed a bake sale, but apparently they do. And her mother is a great cook, but she is not a baker. So apparently grandma is doing a lot of baking for the Girl Scouts.
And you are an excellent baker. We certainly miss all of your treats that you're so good at. You were so good at baking and sharing. So that's fun that you get to do that with Charlotte.
Scarlet.
Yeah, I was thinking about Charlotte's Web, because I just watched that show and read the book with my granddaughter, Artemis. Yes, Scarlet. And your oldest granddaughter, you've done some travels with too, right?
She's the middle one, Rowan. So last year I took 3 vacations, which I don't remember taking 3 vacations in the past 10 years, but I took 3 vacations last year. My husband and I went with our in-laws to Asheville, North Carolina, to the Biltmore. That was great fun. That was a driving vacation.
Beautiful place.
And then Rowan, my 16-year-old granddaughter, for her 16th birthday, my husband and I flew to Salt Lake City, Utah, to stay with Dr. Camille Moreno and her fiance in Salt Lake City. And I went ziplining with Rowan.
Wow.
In the Olympic Village. I loved it. It was fun. It was great fun. If anybody knows me too, they know that I cannot say no to my grandchildren. So if they want to zip line, we zip line. If they want to bake 100 cookies, we bake 100 cookies. Whatever they want. So we were there. And then I came home. And as soon as I came home, my daughter and I started taking ballroom dancing lessons, because my best friend's son was getting married. So we had to do that.
That's great. And that's another activity that they say that helps cognitively, is ballroom dancing, or learning new physical routines.
And then like I said, my best friend's son got married. And then a few weeks later, his cousin got married in Arizona. And I flew to Arizona, where my niece actually lives, for this wedding. That was a solo trip. That was a funny story. I baked about 6 dozen brownies that day and then baked 6 dozen brownies, took classes at Tri-C, and then hopped on a plane that evening that I almost missed the plane. But and then I was pretty tired by the time I got to Arizona at 11 o'clock at night. But it was a lot of fun because I wouldn't trade any of these experiences for anything because they're experiences. And as long as I can do it, I'm going to do it. And like I said, I think that anytime you want to do something, do it now. Don't wait and say, well, I'll do it tomorrow, because who knows if tomorrow's actually going to be there for you. So,
no, I think that's very excellent advice. How long did you take in terms of planning your retirement? It seems like it was on your mind since your mother, you know, died before she could enjoy her retirement.
Well, probably about 8 months before I actually retired from the clinic, I thought about what I was going to do and how I was going to do it. So I actually retired at 65 and not 66 and a half. So I just turned 66 in October. So though I don't feel like I'm 66 mentally, I feel like I'm 45 mentally. My body sometimes feels like it's 86. That's what I was telling my husband the other day. And he came at me today and he says, oh, there's something from a funeral home about coming and watching a seminar. And I said, don't even come at me with that thing because I don't want to think about it. And I says, well, we have to think about this. And I was like, I'll think about it when I die. Don't worry about it.
No, but actually, I mean, my husband and I are involved in those plans. I mean, every year we always, you know, kind of re-up and look at things and make sure everything is, you know, financially and paperwork in order. But that was a very powerful podcast I did at the end of the first season. You know, it was the last episode of the first season with Dr. Sylvia Perez Prado, because really taking some time to talk to your family about what you want or what you don't want and making plans, it certainly makes it easier on the loved ones, of course.
Absolutely. Because, and I think that our children do know what we want. We've talked to them about it. Like I said, I was just kidding around with my husband, but because we have been caught short with not knowing what our parents wanted when that time came. And it's a very stressful situation. And I found out through retirement now, I've been reconnecting with old friends and old, you know, relatives I haven't had time with. And I just lost a dear friend that I didn't get to see for like 20 years because just our schedules were, you know, in different places. And it's sad that it had to wait until this point that you have to do that. So that's another thing I think I take away from this in my retirement is like, no time is the wrong time to reconnect with people, you know, to spend time with
great
people.
Great advice.
You know, even if it's a phone call or a text message. And I think that's the reason that I have like a great support system is because I have a lot of friends that I can just turn to if I need to talk to them, or they can turn to me. And just like I said, quick text message, how are you doing? I have a cousin now that I've just reconnected with that was going through some health issues. And now she does some artwork, some different kind of crafting, and she's going to show me how to do it. So there's another outlet for my retirement.
Great. That is wonderful. So I know that you're not a financial planner and finances aren't your interest or expertise per se. but you did mention that it's kind of important that since you have more free time, not to just spend all your money. Do you have any financial tips or resources that you found, that you've been able to find activities and intellectual pursuits and social pursuits that are not expensive or that might be, you know, free or at reduced cost for seniors?
So the art museum is wonderful. It's free to go to the art museum. You know, the Cleveland Zoo is free, I believe, on Mondays to go to the Cleveland Zoo. There are things that you can do. Like I said, Silver Sneakers is a wonderful thing that's offered to through Social Security. You know, when you get your Social Security, your retirement, so you can go to gyms. And it's nice because you can connect with people there, you know, of your age. And a lot of communities have retirement centers where you can go. I have not been to those places because I have, again, like I said, I have a nice group of friends that for some reason all decided that twice a week I need to get out and have lunch with them. And I, you know, that was kind of hard on my diet there. I put on a few pounds, but I'm taking them back off now. So, but sometimes just getting out and walking and even going to the library, you can find resources at the library. Joining, I'm on a mother's activist group, and sometimes we do Zoom meetings. Sometimes they're at 7:30 in the evening when I'd rather be like, you know, just settling down with a book. But I do these Zoom meetings. But sometimes you can volunteer at different places. Like I said, it's all about getting out and just trying to socialize and meet other people, because that's what keeps your mind active, is not sitting at home in front of television. I don't typically watch a lot of television. I even tend not to watch the news. My husband will tell me, well, this was on the news or that was on the news, because I found it too depressing at times. And it's not that I'm trying to put my head in the sand, but it's just like, if I'm going to live out my retirement, I want to live it out the way I want to live it out and not be daily, like depressed on a daily basis. If it's something that he feels it's really important that I need to know about, he's going to tell me about it. So I let him channel the bad stuff for me. That's probably a terrible thing, but you know, that's the way I am.
No, that's a good technique. I know in my own circle of friends, I have people that like to follow certain areas or topics or have certain areas of expertise, and then they'll feed me, you know, after they've scanned all of that. So it's more of like a whole group of brain power and expertise and filtering. And I think controlling that media is very important. Certainly it's important for sleep. You know, we've done several podcasts on sleep and people who have the screen lights on and the TV on and, you know, they're having that constant stream. They don't take control of their own day and hours and sleep. And so, I mean, it sounds like you've been, you know, being proactive, which is all about what Speaking of Women's Health is to be strong, be healthy, and be in charge. And you're listening to our Speaking of Women's Health podcast. Yes. And I am your host, Dr. Holly Thacker, the executive director of Speaking of Women's Health. And we are joined by a guest who graced us last year and is now in our second season, Nurse Lily McKinney, who has just completed a full year of retirement. And she's had lots of great tips on how to make the most of your retirement and how to stay busy and stay healthy physically and mentally. Do you use like the, we have a great public library system here, and I know a lot of places do. Is that where you get some books to read or find out about some of the resources in the community?
Right. Actually, what one of my friends helped me or showed me what to do was you can download, I think it's called Libby onto your phone. It's through the library where you can actually get books on your phone so that you don't have to, if the weather's bad, you don't have to go. But it is the library that I do go to, and you can find resources at the library. I'm a big lover of the library because in my high school days, I worked at the library.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I love the library. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine, we ate at a little restaurant near the library that I worked at when I was growing up in high school. it was right across from the library. So it was kind of nice to go back to the old neighborhood.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
So there's a lot of resources there, and I know that they have book groups, but they have a lot of other seminars. I don't know offhand if they have any for preparing for retirement or anything like that, but I know they have them for all the different age ranges, like how to prepare for high school, how to take your ACT mm-hmm. test,
right.
You know, how to get ready for right. kindergarten.
And the thing with going to Tri-C, a lot of the colleges, like I said, after a certain age, you can take college classes. You can audit in the college classes for free. The ones that I do at Tri-C on Fridays, because they're on Fridays, it's called a 55 Encore, where you pay, but it's like a bundled price. It's not that expensive. I think it's $30. I just pay because I wanted to take the Friday classes because that was sort of a free day for me when I didn't have a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. And again, like I said, it's the more classes you take, it's a bundled price. If you take a certain class, I think it's $30. The more you take, they bundle it, and it's cheaper that way. I was trying to take an archaeology class because that's really what interests me, but it was on the east side, and I logistically couldn't figure out how I was going to drive from the east side to the west side and get all the classes in that I wanted to. It was not going to work that way. But there's Baldwin Wallace, there's Cleveland State. There's we have so many colleges around that people can find the resources at these colleges too. All you have to do is call. People are so helpful when you just say, hi, I'm retired. I'm trying to find some things to do. You know, people will help you. You just have to call them and find out, because I'm not a genius about knowing resources for things, like you said, but I am a genius about calling people and asking, and what do I do?
Yeah, and being persistent and being nice. I mean, those are some of the themes on one of our podcasts about making medical appointments, which are getting increasingly harder to do. Do you find it easier to just manage your general health because you don't have to work around the work demands to get your medical appointments?
Yes. Or? Yeah, it's much easier to say, oh, sure, I'll take that appointment. I don't mind going to that facility because my day's completely open. As you know, I just finally was able to get my colonoscopy and my endoscopy done. And, you know, I'm staying on top of mine and my husband's, you know, all our appointments. As a matter of fact, my daughter had to get us a calendar for our refrigerator because now we're doing, besides everything else we're doing grandparent and great aunt duties. He daily takes Scarlett to school, and then I'm taking my nieces. I'm going to her house to get her son on the bus in the morning. So we're leaving at 7 o'clock in the morning, 7:15. He's going one way. I'm going the other way. We're like, bye, we'll see you later. And then come back together. It's like, I think we're like, is this what retirement's supposed to be? We thought we were supposed to be staying home in the morning and sleeping in and, you know, drinking our tea and coffee and looking at the newspaper or watching the news or whatever, you know, whatever he does, and me doing the laundry or whatever I do, you know, whatever the thing is. But it's new.
Well, it's good to have a schedule. And I imagine, and that's such an important role that I think retired people and people who don't work outside the home do for the community, to help those families that do need some extra hands of, right. You know, helping get kids on the bus or doing those things. So I'm sure that that probably makes you feel good too, being needed, of course, by your, you know, extended family and friends.
It does. It's nice to have a purpose. Like you said, it's good. It's good to be retired, but it's also good to have a purpose because a lot of times I miss my patients. I miss being down at the main campus. And, you know, I've always told you this. I just didn't miss that drive in the wintertime.
Right, of course.
You know, I would have stayed because I love you and I love my fellow nurses and the patients. But the drive was just horrific.
Well, I guess those are, and we certainly love you, Lily, and really I miss you so much. But we're so glad, though, that you are enjoying your retirement. And like you said, there's never the time that there is now. I think, you know, my husband's perspective is a little bit different since he's in the financial industry and he has some, he manages, you know, assets and helps people with their money, and he's got some clients who've lived a really long, long, long healthy life, and they've helped a lot of their other family members. And he says it's just a terrible thing to give someone their last check, and that's it. You know, there's no more, you know, money where that's from. So I imagine you have to maybe spend a little bit more time in your retirement budgeting and planning and watching what your sources of income are.
Right, right. We do, and we're just very frugal. It's kind of interesting because I remember going to the grocery store like weekly and buying large amounts of food, and sometimes it was kind of wasteful. And now it's like I almost go every other day and just buy what we're going to need for that day. We don't have like a lot of excess. And my husband and I, a while ago, we kind of switched over to more Mediterranean diet and we eat a lot healthier. And so I just kind of get what we need, you know, for the day, try to keep more fresh fruits and vegetables and less junk in the house. And, you know, we just try to manage that way, you know, kind of that way. And like I said, we normally don't take a lot of vacations. So last year was kind of budgeted. We already budgeted for everything that we're going to do. So this year we don't have any vacations planned. As I was telling you before, my daughter and my granddaughter and I have a road trip scheduled, I think, for May to visit my other granddaughter, my oldest granddaughter in Virginia. So we're just trying to figure out how we can do this. But income tax time is coming around, so everybody's going to have their little income tax check. So we're hoping that we're going to figure this out. So we'll see how this works out.
Well, I know that people that have a little bit more time. I remember a conversation I had with a friend of mine who was working, and then after she had her fifth child, she needed to stop working and be at home. So they lost that second income. So she had a little bit more time, even though it's always hard to have time when you're working, you know, 24/7 at home with young children. But she said with the loss of the second income, she had to pay a lot more attention to like clipping coupons and being, you know, as precise in terms of following those kind of things. And I think they say in general, I don't know if you found this to be the case, but you need about 70% of your income in retirement that you needed for work, because you're not spending as much time and money on commuting or supplies, right, or clothes, right, or things that you might need for work. Have you kind of found that to settle out, right, about like that?
Exactly. I'm obviously using a lot less money for gas, a lot less wear and tear on my car for all the traveling and that kind of thing. And like I said, I just find that I'm not endlessly going to Starbucks and doing that kind of stuff that I was doing when I was working at the main campus. I think when I was there, every day was like a Starbucks or buying lunches there. And it's here when you're preparing food at home, it's way cheaper than buying stuff out or that kind of thing. And sometimes I think when I was coming home from work, we were just, we'll just go out to dinner because I'm kind of tired or something was going on. And, I'm cooking a lot more, and obviously it's a lot healthier. It's a lot healthier things that I'm cooking. And, you know, and as you see, baking, I'm experimenting with more dishes and foods, and it's a lot more fun.
Oh, that's
too
fun. Yeah. So you're a great cook and a great baker. And and you post some of your recipes, right, on social media?
Well, I post the pictures. I don't know that I give people recipes, but I give them.
For the recipes. Oh, you don't want to give them your secrets, just the pictures.
I don't mind. It's just that it would be time consuming. If my friends ask, but usually what I do is they just become the recipients of my food. I just take them everything. And I have one friend that she's like, you can bring me anything you want anytime. And I said to her something about baking something for me. And she looked at me like, you've got to be kidding. You know, like, you've got to be kidding. I'm not the person that does this. You're the person that does this stuff.
Well, hopefully she does something else for you. I just was at lunch with a friend, and another friend came up who had given me this homemade drink for Christmas. And I had just gotten around to drinking, and I was like raving about how good it was. And she says, oh, you have to make me that. And she said, but in turn, I'll bring you in all my, you know, canned pickles and things that I like to do, because she's a good canner. So I think that's important, though. You know, with any kind of relationship, things have to kind of be a two-way street, you know, so that you're not being taken advantage of, really, at any stage in your life. And women, you know, do tend to be the ones that say yes more than no. But one of the things, this was a discussion I had recently with my husband, is since we're doing the end-of-life planning mm-hmm. and trying to get everything in order in advance to make it easier whenever that time might come for the, you know, remaining family members, is he was saying how women usually fare better after they lose their spouse than the reverse, because women make so many more social connections, which obviously you've just demonstrated all the different interactions that you have both with family and extended family and your girlfriends. Whereas men, I don't think do that quite as much. So I think that's, something to encourage, you know, and it's not necessarily males in our life. It could be females who are just, you know, more to themselves and don't have as much social connections. But I think that's so important to not being lonely, sure. Which there's an epidemic of loneliness. And your husband, though, he retired before you did.
So right. He retired 5 years. That helped pave the way? 5 years before me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, I mean, have you seen that differences in your friends and family who've kind of retired?
You're correct. I mean, I do see that in men. My husband gets out once a week. He goes with his brother. They go out to breakfast. And then every couple of weeks, he goes out with a group of friends that he worked with. But he gets out, like I said, to take our granddaughter. He's out doing a lot of things with my son. You know, and again, my niece who has the nephew that I put on the bus, he does some things for her children. So he gets out and does things. I don't let him try to be too stagnant. You know, I try to get him out to do things. So even if it's going shopping, I'll be like, come on, we're going to go to Aldi's, or we're going to go to Kohl's, or whatever. It's just to get him out to not be sitting in front of the TV, or we're going to go for a walk in the park, or, you know, that kind of thing. So
getting back to cooking and baking. So what was one of your favorite new recipes that you've tried in the last year?
I think initially it was my tiramisu recipe. But I think I'm kind of burned out on that now. So, I don't think I have a favorite one. I was asking my friends and everybody had a different answer. Somebody was like, oh, it's your pound cake. And one said, yeah, I liked it with the nutmeg in it. And the other one was like, I liked it with the cinnamon in it. And then somebody's like, oh no, I liked your chocolate chip pecan scones. And then somebody else was like, oh, I liked your chicken dish. And you know, so it's like a variety of things. So I don't think I have a favorite one.
Well, it's been so wonderful having you back here in the Sunflower House, Lily. And thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. And if you don't already subscribe to our podcast, please hit the follow or subscribe button on your app so you don't miss any future episodes on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn, wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you've enjoyed this episode and you want to help support our podcast, please share it with your friends or family. You can donate to the nonprofit speakingofwomenshealth.com. And you can also leave us a 5-star rating or review. And if you have any questions or any topics that you want us to go over in the podcast, you can go on speakingofwomenshealth.com. There's a contact us and you can send us an email. And hopefully we can talk about it on a future podcast. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.